So remember that last time I shared about the session when you know, God the Father told St. Catherine about the Holy Eucharist, about you know the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist cannot be divided, and also about the dignity of the priest, and also of course you know the good priest and the bad priest in the at the time of St. Catherine of Siena, that talking about that the good priest practiced purity, humility, and voluntary poverty. And also, we talk about the also when we receive the Holy Eucharist, the greater our love and desire, the more we open our heart to receive the grace of the Holy Eucharist. That in Holy Communion, it's not only the unity, but also the grace and the power of the sacrament given to us. So after talking about the Holy Eucharist and the Holy Priesthood, God the Father talked about providence, divine providence. In the dictionary, you know, the modern Catholic dictionary is talking about divine providence is God's all-wise plan for the universe and the carrying out of this plan by his loving rule or governance. The eternal world plan and its fulfillment in time are together called divine providence. So, when God created us, is part of providence. Jesus, God the Father said to St. Catherine, it was with providence that I created you. And when I contemplate my creature in myself, I fell in love with the beauty of my creation. It pleased me to create you in my image and likeness with great providence. I provided you with the gift of memory so that you might hold fast my benefits and be made the sharer in my own, the eternal Father's power. I gave you understanding, so that in the wisdom of my only begotten Son, you might comprehend and know what I, the eternal Father, want. I who gave you a grace with such burning love, I gave you a will to love, making you a sharer in the Holy Spirit's mercy, so that you might love what your understanding sees and knows. So when God creates us, along with life, he also gives us the faculties of memory, of understanding, of will, that those faculties allow us to have a loving relationship with God. And God wants us to have a loving relationship with him. He wants us to obey him. But we know in history that Adam sinned because of disobedience, because of pride. And God the Father mentioned to St. Catherine that Adam, because of his pride, because of his desire to please a woman, you know, disobeyed God. And so God the Father said that Adam was so concerned about pleasing and bowing to his companion, even though he did not believe what she said, that he consented to disobey my command rather than offend her. And this disobedience has been and is the source of all the evils that have come after it. So Adam, you know, poisoned the whole world, so to speak, because of disobedience. So we have sin and death. And Jesus come to overcome sin and death doing the opposite, to obey the will of God the Father. And so by his obedience, he makes satisfaction for all the sins of Adam, but also our own sins, our sin of disobedience. Because whenever we sin, no matter in what way do we sin, it's always disobeying the command of God. It's always involved pride, the pride of disobedience. And because of the sacrifice of Christ, the sacrifice makes out of obedience, We can be clothed with innocence and grace through the sacraments of baptism. And Jesus also gives us his body and blood to strengthen us on the journey. We think about that, you know, when we get baptized, it's also obeying the commands of Jesus that we preach the gospel to all nations, baptize the people. And also when we think about Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, it's also obedient that Jesus obey the Father. Whenever there's consecration, he's present on the altar. And Jesus, in a sense, obeyed the priests who consecrate the bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus. So in the sacraments of baptism, in the sacraments of the Holy Eucharist, we see the obedience of the Church, but also the obedience of Christ himself. And those two become the important means for us to be able to overcome sin here on earth and also to eventually overcome death for good on the last day. Of course, the Holy Eucharist is also the pledge of our future resurrection. And so when we're thinking about those two sacraments, you know, that symbolize also, you know, with the Divine Mercy image, the blood and water, some of the Church Fathers, I think it's the Church Fathers who comment that the blood, you know, the representing the Holy Eucharist and the water representing baptism. And Jesus on the cross, because of his obedience, he died on the cross. And after that sacrifice, at the end, the heart opened, and that's the source of the sacrament, the grace. And so the sacraments now given to us in the Church. The Church obeyed Jesus to give the sacrament. But also Jesus himself obeyed God the Father and even the minister of the Church to confer the sacrament and to be present in the sacrament and to give us grace. And the price of the precious blood give us firm hope of salvation. God the Father point out to St. Catherine, whenever you serve, there's always a hope, the hope for reward. So you won't serve, you know, unless you have the hope for reward. And so the soul must either serve God or serve the world. Either put the hope in God or hope in the world or in herself. For we cannot serve two masters, that we heard in the Gospel. And God the Father explained to St. Catherine, insofar as she served the world with a sensual service, apart from me, she is serving and loving her own selfish sensuality, hoping to find sensual pleasure and profit in this love and service. But because her hope is set on empty, finite, passing things, her hope will fail her, and she will never, in effect, attain what she desires. So long as she hopes in herself and in the world, she will not hope, she will not put her trust in me. And God the Father also said, the soul who perfectly hopes in me serves me with her whole heart and will must necessarily put no hope in herself or in the world or in her own weakness. So, when we put our trust in God, we put less trust in ourselves, in the world, in created things. But the more we put our hope in the world, the less we put our hope in God. And so it's important for us, you know, to think about, you know, how do we put our hope? Do we always put our hope in worldly things? Do we expect to find happiness in worldly reality? Or do we expect to find happiness in God and put our hope in God? And so when we put our hope in God and we expect reward and happiness from God, then we will serve God. But when we put our hope and when we always want to find happiness only in the world, then we become like a servant of the world. And God the Father wants us, of course, to really put Him first and always hope in Him, expect reward and happiness from Him, and so to be His faithful servant. And to the extent that we really serve God and put Him first, we also open our capacity to experience the loving care of God, the providence of God. So once again, I quote God the Father, telling St. Catherine, "This true and perfect hope is more or less perfect in proportion to the soul's love for me, and thus she experiences my providence more or less perfectly. Those who serve me in the simple hope of pleasing me receive and enjoy it more perfectly than those who serve in hoping of the reward or pleasure they might find in me." So, there seems to be a distinction here, that even when we hope in God and want to find our happiness in God, there is also a kind of distinction here. That sometimes, yes, we hope in God for giving us reward. That is better than hoping in the world. But it's even better is the people that hope not for the reward that outside of God Himself, but hoping to please God, serving God simply to please Him, to love Him, like Saint Faustina or some other saints. In their writing, they express that desire. They want nothing, not even the reward from God, but they only want God Himself. And so that's longing for God Himself, because of who He is, not just because of what He can give us, is even more perfect love. And when the soul grows in love, to be such a perfect love, then the person is also able to experience the providence, the loving care of God more perfectly. And so we find that, there are some of the saints, they are quite selfless in their love for God. They are not looking for any reward. They want to simply serve God. And then when they do things, they do experience, in a wonderful way, the providence of God. We think about St. John Bosco, how he able to, with a single-minded devotion, to provide for so many poor boys, their education, their formation, able to build houses for them. And also some other saints at that time who are friends of St. John Bosco. They also found religious order, rely on divine providence, and able to provide for the needs of those who were sick or poor. And then we think about even in more recent time, how Mother Angelica rely on divine providence, able to, with so little money, to start a network of television, of radio, to evangelize. When she was running the radio or television, there was every month, there is a lot of money, a lot of bills need to be paid. It can be at the beginning of the month, she just got a few hundred dollars, but in the end of the month, she had to pay 5-6 digits, of bills. But she relied on divine providence, and it's always worked out. She got the money she need to pay the bills. So it's something that quite incredible, doing things. She know that it's the project that God wants, and so she relied on God. And she was able to accomplish a lot of beautiful things. When God looked after us, He looked after us in general way. He also looked after us in particular way. God gives the chosen people the prophets. And the prophets foretold the Messiah. And God the Father also mentioned, after the Messiah come, the Jewish people no longer have prophets. It's to let them know that the Messiah is already here. And then after the Messiah came, after Christ came, God provided the apostles, the martyrs, the doctors of the church, the confessors, to the church, for us, for our benefits. Now, you know, when we're talking about doctors and confessors, people might think about doctor who do the prescription and confessor who hear your confession. But when you talk about the saints, doctors mean that they teach the faith so well that they are given the title doctor of the church. It's like a wonderful teacher. So, you know, so you have people who teach the faith, to teach the faith so well, like St. Teresa the Little Flower, St. Teresa of Avila, or even now we have St. Catherine of Siena, we're talking about her. Those are declared as daughter of the church because they teach the faith so well that they are the teachers for the church.
How many are there?
I think there are now 35 or 36. And then also confessors. Basically, confessors are like the non-martyrs saints. They are the confessor. They confess the faith by their conduct, by their way of living. So it's not like the confessor who hear your confession. Confessors, talking about the saints, it means non-martyrs saints. So martyrs and confessors. It's quite often when a person die, when people want to promote a case of canonization of a person, it can be either a case of martyrdom or a case of a confessor, and we call that a case for heroic virtue. So somebody who practiced virtues to a really high degree, that's the person can be considered to be a saint. So, you know, if you are not a martyr, do your best to practice virtues to a heroic degree, huh? Be patient with me, you know, put up with me, you know, that will help you to be holy. Okay, so God provide the church with those things, their teaching, their example, and God will continue to provide up to the end, as He told St. Catherine. So this is the general providence granted to everyone who is willing to receive its fruit. But also God give us particular way of life and a particular kind of death that we have. Now, the objective of God is to bring people to salvation and to help people to become holy. And sometimes, you know, God will even allow bad things to happen to good people so that to bring them to heaven, so that to bring them to holiness. So he mentioned about that sometimes he let the just, you know, to die a violent death or of accident in order to bring about their salvation. Sometimes God make use of natural disasters to rescue people from eternal death. And so God the Father also, in a sense, complained to St. Catherine that people, you know, quite often people in the world, they only see the bad thing happen. They don't look beyond that God make use even of bad things to rescue people from hell, to bring people to heaven. So he said, these people judge as bad and hateful, and for their harm and destruction, what I do in love for their own good, to deliver them from eternal suffering and to win for them and give them eternal life. Why then do they complain about me? Because they put their hope not in me, but in themselves. So when people put their hope in themselves, in earthly things, you know, because they only hope for earthly things, when bad things happen on earth, they see that almost like the biggest evil. But the biggest evil is not earthly disaster or even earthly death. The biggest disaster is eternal death. And so God would allow, you know, physical evil to save us from spiritual evil. When teaching the fifth commandment, or second commandment, I would say, second and fifth commandment, a bit more of a fifth commandment, because second commandment is about cursing, but I think about fifth. When you curse somebody, you wish evil on someone. So the question is, can we ever will evil on anybody? The answer is, it can be yes. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, a person can be spiritually in such a bad state, you wish God to bring that person's physical evil to wake the person up. And so sometimes, you know, it can be permissible to even ask God to send physical evil to somebody to rescue that person from a spiritual evil.
You mean to ask God that the person might die or something?
It might be, you know, because think about what happened to St. Bridget and St. Rita. I think I mentioned that before. You know, St. Bridget, her son was at the point of going into an affair with a woman that is a married woman. And so she prayed hard for her son, and her son died before he was able to go any further. And then St. Rita, her two sons, because, you know, her husband was being murdered, being killed by someone. Her two sons, you know, determined to kill the person, you know, to vengeance, revenge. And St. Rita prayed that rather her two sons died than to commit murder. And so her prayer got answered. They both died. You know, but they both die repentant before they actually die. So sometimes it can happen, you know, God will allow physical evil to rescue somebody from spiritual evil, from eternal death. But of course, you know, we can be quite sure, like Holy Mother, like St. Rita and St. Bridget, when they ask for something like that, it will be out of pure love, you know. Oftentimes, when somebody did us some wrong and we wish the person physical evil, I think we have to really examine ourselves carefully. Do we really view the good for that person, or we really want to get even? That's the tricky part, you know. Yes, it can. Yeah, sometimes it can even be legitimate to wish physical evil so that somebody can be free from spiritual evil. If you are a mother for really love your children, I don't have much doubt about that your motive. If it is somebody that really hurt you and upset you and annoying to you, like, you know, so if you wish physical evil, I think you really have to be careful to examine your motive. And then God the Father also said, "These people do not trust me, though I want nothing other than their sanctification. It is to this end with great love that I give and permit everything. But they are always scandalized in me, and I support and bear with them with great patience because I love them without their ever loving me." So they always, you know, oppose God, treating God with great impatience, hatred, complaining, infidelity. And God himself said, "They, with their blinded vision, want to set themselves up as investigators of my hidden judgments, which are made justly and out of love. And they do not yet even know themselves, so they see falsely. For those who do not know themselves do not know me or my justice in truth." So, you know, the reality is people don't even know about themselves and the emptiness of worldly things, and they want to sit a judge to judge the hidden designs of God. And so, but when God permits things, when God let things happen, it's out of love, and sometimes it's something that we do not see the results in this earth, you know, but God knows what comes after death, and so he sometimes allows physical evil to rescue people, to free people from spiritual evil. And so, you know, when we pray the Our Father, Father John Harden, you know, teach us when we pray, "Deliver us from evil." When we pray about "deliver us from evil," we pray absolutely that God deliver us from spiritual evil, but we pray conditionally that God deliver us from physical evil, and the condition is if it is according to the will of God. Sometimes, you know, the physical evil God want to deliver us, sometimes might not. And so it's a bit of conditionally. And also, God allow people to experience troubles in the world so that people will raise their heart and will above the world and put their trust in God. And God, less than Catherine, understood that putting trust in oneself rather than God is the cause of much evil. So when we do not trust God, but just trust in ourselves and hope in, not in God, but in ourselves, it's the cause of many, many evils. And so when we know how to be detached from worldly things, we also open up our heart to be able to receive spiritual blessings and wealth. And God the Father provides not only for spiritual need, but He also provides for physical need. And He told St. Catherine, whatever I do to provide for the body is done for the good of the soul, to make her grow in the light of faith, to make her trust in me and give up trusting in herself, and to make her see and know that I am who I am, and that I can and will and know how to assist her in her need and save her. So God provides physical food for the body. He provides the sacraments, the Holy Eucharist, especially for the nourishment of the soul. And sometimes God might delay a person able to receive the sacrament in order for the person's desire to be intensified, and so in that way increase self-knowledge, and so to receive the sacraments more worthily. And St. Catherine, you know, give a few examples, really likely that her own example about herself, about how God allowed, you know, looking after people, but also allow her to be delayed in receiving the sacrament. So there was one time, you know, a priest came to the altar, and St. Catherine asked for the body of Christ, but the priest refused. You know, remember in those days, frequent communion is not a norm. You know, people don't receive communion frequently, so she had to ask the priest to really give her communion, but the priest said no. So the tears and longing grew in her. So then when the priest offered the chalice, there was a bit of a conscience. You know, the conscience was a bit uneasy on him that he refused, and so he urged the he told the altar server, ask her if she wants to receive communion, for I will willingly give it to her. And so she was able to receive communion, and God the Father mentioned, this is why I had permitted to make her grow and to dry up in her any selfish unfaithfulness or any trust she had in herself. So she, God allowed her to experience that delay, you know, in her request being granted, so that her desire would grow, and so that when she received communion, she received much more love. And then another time, you know, she was so longing to approach the sacrament, the bread of life, the food of angels given to humanity, that she tried almost every priest who came out to celebrate. In my providence, she was denied by all of them, because I wanted her to learn that although everyone else might fail her, I, her creator, would never fail her. Therefore, at the last mass, I employed the means I am about to tell you. I used a tender trick to make her drunk with my providence. Okay, I did not remember what is the trick. Let me continue to read then. So, she has said that she wanted to receive communion, but the server did not want to tell the celebrant. When she saw the priest was not answering negatively, she waited with great longing to be able to receive communion. The mass came to an end, and finding herself let down, her hunger and longing intensified tremendously, because in true humility, she considered herself unworthy. She reproached herself for her presumption, because it seemed to her that she had been presumptuous to approach so great a mystery. Then I, who excel the humble, drew to myself the soul's love and longing, and gave her knowledge in the abyss of the Trinity, myself, God eternal. I enlighten her understanding in my own, the Father's power, in the wisdom of my only begotten Son, and in the mercy of the Holy Spirit, for we are one and the same thing. That soul was so perfectly united with me that her body was lifted up from the earth. Because of this unity state I am telling you about, the union of the soul with me through the impulse of love is more perfect than of the soul with her body. And in this great abyss, to satisfy her longing, she received Holy Communion from me. And as a sign that I had in truth satisfied her, for several days she sensed in a wonderful way in her bodily taste the savor and fragrance of the blood and body of Christ crucified, my truth. Thus was she renewed in the light of my providence, having tasted it so sweetly. All of this was visible to her, but invisible to the eyes of others. So, look like again, you know, this dialogue that when God describes this particular person to St. Catherine, it seems to be about St. Catherine herself. It was said in the footnotes from the translator. And then, but the second instant was visible to the minister who was involved. That soul had a great longing to hear Mass and receive communion. Okay, they know it's in Catherine because, you know, the priest himself actually, I think now he at least a blessed Raymond, he actually described the incident in great details. So anyhow, that soul that St. Catherine herself had a great longing to hear Mass and receive communion, but physical pain prevented her going to the church at her usual time. She came in late, however, at the consecration. He was at one end of the church, and she took her place at the other. She stood there weeping, saying, "O my wretched soul, do you not see what great grace you have received simply to be in the holy temple of God and to have seen his minister, you who deserve to live in hell for your sins?" But her desire was not for all that stilled. The more she plunged into the valley of humility, the more she was raised up. It was granted her to know my goodness in faith and hope, and to trust that the Holy Spirit, her servants, would nourish her hunger. And then I gave her what she did not even know how to desire in such a fashion. It is how it was. When the priest came to break the host for his own communion, as he broke it, a tiny piece fell off. By my permission and power, this tiny bit of the host left the altar and went to the other end of the church where she was standing. She felt that she had received communion, but in her great burning desire, she thought that, as had often happened before, I had satisfied her invisibly. But it did not seem so to the celebrant, who, when he could not find that piece of host, experienced unbearable sorrow. If my mercy as servant had not received to his spirit who had had it, he would have remained in doubt until she finally told him about it. And then God the Father told St. Catherine, "Could I not have relieved her of her physical weakness and let her come on time, so that she could have received the sacrament from the celebrant? Yes, but I wanted her to experience that with or without the help of another person, in any situation or at any time whatever, in any fashion she knew how to desire, and even more in any fashion she could not know how to desire. I know how to and can and will satisfy her in wonderful ways." So, and then he said, "I have told you enough, dearest daughter, about the providence I employ towards souls who hunger for this sweet sacrament. So also in all the others, as there is need, do I employ this gentle providence." So God the Father, He allows St. Catherine to have some experience of delaying receiving the sacrament. And we know in her great longing and desire, she was able to receive the sacrament even more worthily. So sometimes, you know, in our daily life, God can deal with us in many different ways, according to our needs, according to our capacity, and we need to be sensitive about, you know, God is always looking after us. And sometimes, you know, when we see some people, you know, that can be annoying, that can be trying, it can be providence working behind, you know, making use of some people that might be difficult to test our patience, to help us to grow into become more holy. So don't just dismiss a person as a nuisance, but see that if they can be the providence of God, making use of them to help us to become more holy.